Oh, things are going my way tonight, Jolie. The way that when I put my rundown together during the show prep process, I had the next two segments open. This one and the next one. And that's good news for you out there at 412-928-9370 if you want to sound off on Cam Hayward and the situation he's engulfed himself in with the Steelers and his contract. But I came across the ESPN Misery Index. This is very authentic and very real. Reacting to this in real time. And I have some thoughts on where our Pittsburgh teams rank. You have not seen this yet. So it's going to be very authentic to you as well.
Yeah, I have not seen this either.
We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But first, a couple of guys on the phones at 412-928-9370. Let's start with Greg in Mount Washington. What's up, Greg?
How you doing tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. Wanted to speak on the Steelers.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Pittsburgh, we had a nice defense last year. Our offense kept them on the field too long. I think our offense is muchly improved this year. You ain't going to have them, you know, on the field all day long. They're going to be scoring points. Defense is going to be on the bench where they're supposed to be at. And with Cam Hayward's not that good, man. I mean, he's a decent player. He was a little better, a little younger. But Cam Hayward can't be demanding no contract like T.J. Watt. He can't do that.
Greg,
Cam Hayward's over the hill.
He was an all-pro a year ago, Greg.
He was. I'm not saying that he wasn't. He can't demand no money like T.J. Watt can, man.
Apparently he can, Greg, and thanks for the call. But to call him over the hill is inaccurate. He was an all-pro a season ago and bounced back after an injury-ridden 2023 season. And that is the difficult time I'm having with the situation. I've said it once, and I'll say it again. Cam Hayward was given a multi-year extension at 30. How old is he right now? 36? Cam Hayward was given a multi-year extension at 35 years old, coming off of an age 34 season in which he was not very good and injury-ridden, and given a multi-year extension after that. At that age, at that position, was still rewarded for lackluster play and injuries, which can derail anybody at any age. And we are where we are with the situation. Mike and Apollo is on the fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. I got mixed emotions. I mean, for me, the kicker, we need our kicker. A lot of times we don't score no points but field goals.
Well, and you know what? That's what's funny about this whole situation, Mike, is that Cam Hayward is being the way he is about this situation, nobody is talking about Chris Boswell doing the same exact thing. And I think also, too, Chris Boswell's situation is a little bit different. Not to cut you off and go on a soapbox, I'll let you finish. But Chris Boswell, I think, is way more justified to be doing what he's doing than Cam Hayward is for a couple of reasons. Number one, he signed his deal that he's on right now in 2022, not less than 365 days ago. He signed it 3 years ago. And since the ink dried on that contract, Chris Boswell has become both the best kicker in football and the third highest paid kicker in football, or the third highest paid kicker in his division. He'd be the lowest paid kicker in his division if the Ravens didn't cut Justin Tucker for being a scumbag. So Chris Boswell, to me, is way more justified in doing what he's doing than Cam Hayward is. I'll let you continue.
Okay, we're in agreement there. Now, Cam, I guess I got a question with my answer. When he signed that contract that he just signed last year, if he did say, if I make the Pro Bowl, we'll be talking about, if I'm all pro, we'll have a discussion again next year. If that is true, then they need to be having a discussion, if that's true.
Well, that they are, and I think those discussions are ongoing, and I think they're frustrating. But where, Mike, and thanks for the call, where is his agent a year ago in conversations between Cam and his agent? Where is the agent at Priority Sports and Entertainment saying, if this is how you feel after an all-pro season, then we go back to the table? Let's bet on you. let's sign a one-year extension and have buku leverage this time next year. And being able to get the money that Cam Hayward wants to feel valued, he used that when he talked to the media. I want to play like I'm valued. He would get that money right now if he was on an expiring deal like TJ Watt was. But instead, there's that extra year in there that makes you say, we just did this. And that's on the agent. And Cam Hayward should not be frustrated at the Steelers. He should not be frustrated at Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, or Art Rooney II. He should look at the agent in the mirror and say, or not in the mirror, he'd be looking at himself. He should look at his agent and say, why didn't we do it this way? Tom in Lawrenceville is on the fan. What's up, Tom?
How's it going? I think what's not really being discussed is I just feel like the whole thing feels off-brand, off-character. I mean,
yeah.
The argument speaks for itself.
Well, that's what I said, Tom. That's what I said. Like, that's why I think it's as frustrating as it is. The most frustrating part about this whole thing is that it's coming from Cam Hayward and seems incredibly off character. The guy that said about Aaron Rodgers, either you want to be a Steeler or you don't. That's a big bowl of being a hypocrite at this point.
And to add to it is, we're eyeing down what cap space we have left, and we're thinking, hey, like maybe we can get a weapon that can really change this offense, really truly make us contenders if this is our year. And the one guy that we truly relied on to be about the team and to be obviously the Walter Payton Man of the Year awards speak for themselves is suddenly wanting more money. It's just striking me as very off.
Yeah, that's a great point, Tom. Thanks for the call. And it made a light bulb go off in my head. Walter Payton, Man of the Year. You look at this roster and you say, we're built to win now. If I make what I make now, we might be able to go out and do this wide receiver. I don't think that's going to happen. That's a subject that we can table for the next segment or later on in the show. Walter Payton, Man of the Year. You want to talk about a guy that did everything that he did to make sure that his team stayed competitive? Let's talk about Sidney Crosby. If we want to go to a different sport, and I understand that hockey players make way different money than the NFL players do, but Sidney Crosby made $8.7 million a year his whole career. That's incredibly undervalued. And he did it, yeah, because, you know, 8.7. But Sidney Crosby's cap hit could have been much higher for a really long time. And because it wasn't, the Penguins were able to pay Phil Kessel almost $7 million a year. They were able to consistently pay Marc-Andre Fleury almost $6 million a year. And be able to pay a bunch of role players like Trevor Daley and Chris Kunitz and Carl Hagelin, Patrick Hornquist, adequate enough money. What I'm trying to say is this: if Sidney Crosby made more money and made what he was worth, the Penguins wouldn't have been able to afford some of those guys, might not have been a good enough team, might not have won Stanley Cups in 16 and 17. It happened with the Chicago Blackhawks. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane made way too much money. They couldn't afford to pay anybody else, and they kind of fizzled out. I understand it's a different sport and it's almost apples to oranges when you talk about pay, but what I think is a valid comparison is Sidney Crosby taking way less for a very long time in order to help the team win. Why do this now? Why create this distraction now? I just got done talking about earlier in the show how I think this distraction could not be detrimental, but it's definitely not good for the Steelers. Especially with the way that they're built. They're built to win now. So let's win now. Let's make your bed and lie in it, Cam. You made your bed when you signed the deal that you did. We would not be having this conversation if it was a different contract a year ago. Raymond's in Murraysville. Now he's on the fan. What's up, Raymond?
Hey, what's up, man? Love the show.
Does everybody love you, Raymond?
Nah, some people.
What's up?
I just want to say, you sort of stole my thunder, but love Cam Hayward. but I think Aaron Rodgers should be a Steeler, or you don't, just like you said. He's the same way. You know, he should have waited to the end of the year. He's already got his money. You know, I hope he gets his money, but on the other hand, hey, this took a little bit of cash.
Yeah, Raymond, I got to cut you off. The reception, not great, but I was able to make out that you agreed with what I was saying. And I think an overwhelming majority of people have that stance, maybe a little bit more of aggressive. One person that doesn't is somebody that I hear call into other programs. I think we've only chatted once or twice. Always good to talk to Mr. Old School, who agrees with Cam Hayward. What's up, Mr. Old School?
Hey, how you doing, my guy? Hey, I agree with Cam, and this is a reason. Cam Hayward took a $13 million pay cut, and he had to take the deal because they were going to cut him. And so he was like, okay, I'll go ahead and take this pay cut, but I'm going to come back to you when I make the Pro Bowl. He even admitted that that's what he told them. They kind of snickered about it, but they didn't come back and say, no, we're not going to change the deal for you. It was almost like a gentleman's agreement. And Cam is not asking for anything but guarantees. All they got to do is guarantee him the other 2 years of his contract. That's not any more out of their pocket. He just wants to make sure if I'm done at the end of this year, I'm going to get my money. And unlike football, you got baseball where people are making $500 million guaranteed. Hockey, guaranteed. NBA, guaranteed. And so football is the only one that their money's not guaranteed. And all Cam is saying, just guarantee me my money.
Yeah.
And I'm good.
Yeah, no, and thanks for the call, Mr. Old School. I think, you know, and I've said that before, and I said that about T.J. Watt. I'm not going to get upset with a player for fighting for everything that they're worth. I'm not. So I'm going to keep that energy with Cam as well. The holes in the argument there, though, are that Cam Hayward has already made $131 million in his career. That's number one. So, yeah, I'm at the end of my career. Yeah, I want to make sure that the rest of this money is guaranteed. Sure, fight for your dollar. Not going to front you on that. But you've already made $131 million in change throughout your career. He's probably fine. I'm not as a financial advisor. I'm not going to sit here and talk about what athletes should or shouldn't do with his money. But if I had to take a guess, Cam Hayward is probably set up for life after football based off of the money that he's made in the past. So that's a hole in the argument there for me. And the other one too, if you're going to say, I'm going to come back next year, we're going to redo this when I'm an all-pro, then sign a one-year deal and have more leverage. This would not be a discussion right now if Cam Hayward... The deal would probably... My voice just cracked. LOL. The deal would probably be done if Cam Hayward signed a one-year extension and would have been in the same situation as T.J. Watt entering the final year of a contract. Cam Hayward would have gotten more money than he could probably get if they just roll over some of his guarantees, and the deal would be done by now. So that's why Cam Hayward should not be mad at anybody in the organization. He should be upset with his agent. Jacobs and Robinson, last caller before the break. What's up, Jacob?
Mr. Hillbro, good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
The question is not about the money. The question is about the posturing and the timing of it. So if someone could explain to me how a gentleman that's been in the league for almost two decades can get manipulated, if this is the case, by his agent to now want to make this bubble up when you're less than a month away from the season. Someone explain that to me. This isn't a money issue.
So, Jacob, I think this has been an issue, like Cam said, like when he said, I'm going to come at you in February after I'm an all-pro. And he was an all-pro, and he probably went at them in February and said, let's do it. This has been going on. Nobody knew about it until the report, and that's since when it's become obviously consuming the airwaves, right? But nobody knew about it because, you know, when you talk about reporting a training camp, Cam Hayward slipped under the radar. He's Cam. You knew that the contract got done a year ago. If you see him maybe as a half participant or whatever, you look at that and say, oh, you know what? That's just Cam Hayward, you know, getting a Veterans Day and being a veteran in this league. And you couple that with the distraction or taking the spotlight of guys like, you know, DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers, the new faces at Steelers camp. Those were the storylines. And Cam Hayward slipped under the radar with his contract dispute as long as possible until, you know, Adam Schefter did what Adam Schefter does and brought it to light, and here we are. So I think this has been going on for a while with Cam Hayward. It's just been recently made public, you know, in the last week or so.
If I may, though, parenthetically, if that is true, which obviously that's what's being disseminated right now, that this has been a prolonged issue, he has a podcast, right? His own personal brand, his own personal voice.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that he was altruistic enough to allow this to go on, because there was other matters and sliding parts, especially when he made the comment in the spring Aaron Rodgers, which I would say it is overblown a little bit when he made the statement about either you want to be a Steeler or not. That's prime opportunity to get something off your chest. So I have a hard time believing that we are on the cusp of this season and now this suddenly gets out of the bag if there's not some other reasons, maybe hurt feelings because he sees other people getting money. Just think, and I'll let you go. Less than, 5-6 years ago, he was the highest paid defensive player at the age 30.
Yeah, he was.
So I, again, if this is about respect, if it's about money, or if it's about posturing, I just have a hard time seeing how folks are missing the bigger ingredient, that it's not about money, it's about the timing and the posture and the attitude of it. Thank you, my friend.
You got it. Drive safe out there if you're in the car. It sounded like you were. And Pat McAfee talked about that on his show, one of the shows right after the Cam Hayward gripes became public. When those guys were up there and did their show from St. Vincent, Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt were up there together, and they were all bragging and look how much money you got, T.J. Oh. And then Cam Hayward was just sitting there like, yeah, I want more money. Let's stop rubbing it in that the guy sitting next to me got another very lucrative contract extension. But at the end of the day, Cam Hayward needs to look at his agent and say, what are we doing? That's the stance I'm going to take on it. And we can continue that discussion at 412-928-9370 as the phone lines will remain open for the rest of the hour. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up, where do the Steelers, where do the Pirates, and where do the Penguins rank on the ESPN Misery Index in their respective leagues? I'm sure you can take an educated guess with all of them, and I think one might surprise you. We'll get into that next. It's the Fan Evening Show. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The ESPN Misery Index is a thing that ESPN uses to measure how miserable you are if you're a fan of this team. This just came out in the last day or so, and I find it all very interesting. And some of it might change. Like, you can go in and answer like a question, and it judges like how miserable you are. But it does give you averages of how miserable you are if you root for this team. I'll just read the thing here. Welcome to ESPN Sports' Misery Index. You've probably seen rankings of the happiest sports cities or most cursed sports teams. What we're doing here is a little bit more personal. You tell us what pro teams you love and we'll crunch the numbers. No fancy AI needed here. Just tell us how happy you should be. Tells you how happy you should be. We do this using a number of key data points, including regular season and postseason success. Teams expected success going into a season. After all, a team that just won a championship might feel very different about a 500 season than a team just finished in the basement. All right, so as we get started here, how do you feel, in general, how do you feel about your sports teams today? Remember, we're talking misery, a high score isn't where you want to be. So if you pick, like, let's just base it off the Pirates. Woeful, misery rating of 80 to 100. That's how I think a lot of us feel about the Pirates. And then you search Pirates, they pop up. What a beautiful ballpark they have. And the team, well, like I said, it's a beautiful ballpark. How long have you been a fan? A large chunk of the people out there that call into this station and complain about the Pirates, I would venture to guess, have been a fan for 15 plus years. So there's options. Less than 5, between 5 to 15, and 15 plus. So if you pick 15 plus, it rates your misery rating at 98 out of 100. 100 being the most miserable you can be. So if you are negative on the Pirates going in, you've been a fan for over 15 years, you're about as miserable as you can be. And as we see the full results here, they break it down by league. The highest misery rating is 100 out of 100 to the MLS's Chicago Fire FC. Joel, I don't know a whole lot about the MLS, admittedly. I don't know if that rating is just or not. I don't know if you do as well.
MLS, yeah, I'm not very good with anything along those lines, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know how good or bad the Chicago Fire FC are, but that's the highest one. They've got the four major sports, the WNBA, the NWSL, and the MLS on here. So the Pirates, their average misery index is 92. That is sixth amongst all Major League Baseball teams. The Reds are actually tied for fifth, because the Reds are rated as a 92 on the misery index as well. The teams that have a higher misery index rating in Major League Baseball, higher than the Pirates, are the Angels, the Marlins, the Rockies, and the White Sox. And Joel, I think that's just. Because if you're an Angels fan, you've had Mike Trout for a long time and haven't won diddly squat with him. And the Marlins, Rockies, and White Sox have somehow been worse than the Pirates consistently for a very long time.
I also do want to mention, I talked about this with Donnie on a Joel's pick one time before the Pirates took on
the Angels. Spoiler alert, you're on the spot. Joel's pick's next segment.
Great. Excellent. Thank you. There was that window where the Angels had prime Trout and the early years of Shohei Ohtani, and those cats did not get to the playoffs at all.
Yeah, and then
think about that.
Yeah, it's not. Say that makes sense that they're higher than the Pirates. The Astros and Dodgers are rated zero, meaning, you know, they're consistent title contenders, and if you're a fan of either one of those teams, you're happy as a clam, although you're rooting for cheaters and the Astros, but that's neither here nor there. So the Pirates 92 out of 100 on the misery index rating. I would somehow we can go properly rated over underrated. I think 92 is not giving it enough juice. I think it's got to be up near 97 or 98.
Really? You think so?
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's,
you work here long enough and you listen to a lot of people call in, you get that vibe that I think 92 is somehow still low. NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers on the ESPN misery index are 20th in the NFL and 76 out of 100. I think that's a little low. I think that's a little low because guess who's right ahead of them? Meaning 3 points ahead of them, meaning that if you're a fan of this team, you're actually more miserable. It's the Buffalo Bills. And I get why the four falls of Buffalo and present day having not been able to get over the Mahomes hump, but you still have a franchise quarterback and a consistent contending team. To me, if I'm a Bills fan, getting to that point and falling short is still less miserable than what the Steelers have done. Because at the end of the day, like, as long as you have a franchise quarterback, you're going to contend, and that's the Buffalo Bills. And things might bounce one way or another where you might beat Mahomes and the Chiefs if things bounce your way. So I'm a little shocked that the Bills are rated ahead of the Steelers, but the Steelers at 76 out of 100, Joel, where do you think that is on the misery index scale? For reference, Jacksonville and the Jets are the highest at 97. Browns are 96. Bears and Raiders are 94. Cardinals and Commanders 91. Titans 90. I think the Commanders need to dip out of the 90s now because they have a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, that's weird stuff. I mean, if Dan Snyder was still their owner, then maybe, but man, 90 for the Commanders, that is shocking. That should be at least, I don't know, a 60 or a 70, considering they've got, I mean, hey, they probably have the best quarterback from last year's class. I think it's pretty much safe to say Jaden Daniels is probably the better pick over Caleb Williams. Yeah,
I love Jaden Daniels. I think he's the fifth best quarterback in football right now. And the current quarterback Mount Rushmore is Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Jackson. And if we were to rank the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL, one through whatever, and just call the four I mentioned, the upper echelon, Jaden Daniels is right behind them. Not right behind those guys, but he's the best quarterback of the remaining, in my mind. Now, granted, if he suffers the same fate as the last time Commanders fans were excited about a quarterback in RG3, then the misery index goes back up well into the 90s. I'm not wishing that on him, obviously, but that's what happened the last time they drafted a guy they were excited about.
How far do you think Jalen Hurts is from Jaden Daniels? Just curious about that.
I think right behind him. I have Daniels and Hurts 5 and 6 right now in the league. I will get into that. That's a little bit of a spoiler, but I will get into my quarterback rankings in one of those shows before the NFL season starts. So again, the Steelers are 76 out of 100 on the ESPN Misery Index. So like, what do they call that? I'd have to go back and look here. Bad radio pause. Sorry. They have different names for different categories. Like 80 to 100 is the worst one. Flailing 79 through 60. Some teams have it worse. It might take a minute to think of them though. I think that's fair. I would put them near the top of that, though, at 79, considering the fact that the Buffalo Bills are in there as well. And again, zero meaning that you're not miserable at all. And in the NFL, and I'm pausing here, I apologize, I have to get back to the NFL rankings. The least miserable fan bases in the NFL, and I'm sure you can guess them, are this one's shocking. So you've got the Eagles and the Chiefs, obviously. They're both at zeros. The Patriots are also at zero.
Wow. No, that's crazy. They're a zero.
Yep.
I mean, they don't even have a playoff win ever since their final Super Bowl with Brady, right?
Yeah, they're definitely not like in the 70s. And certainly not as far, even though they've stunk, but they're not zero.
That's got to speak to the magnitude between that Tom Brady, you know, from that Tom Brady window and the amount of rings they got on top of like three other Super Bowl appearances that they didn't win.
Now I'm curious. Lakers, they because of how much, you know, ESPN loves the big stars and Tom Brady and especially LeBron James. The ESPN rates the Lakers at 46.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I was
right in the middle.
I was expecting like if the Tom Brady effect to also translate maybe to the Lakers and have them be drastically low, but that's not the case. So I said one of them might surprise you, and one of them on the as far as the Pittsburgh sports teams rank on the ESPN Misery Index is the Penguins. There are three teams in the NHL with zero on the Misery Index. Meaning if you're a fan of this team, you're not miserable at all. You're smitten because your team's contending to win the whole damn thing year in and year out. Florida, Tampa Bay, and Vegas. Very fair. The Penguins are the lowest team not rated zero. They have 18 on the Misery Index. I think that's way low for a team that has not made the playoffs in 3 years.
If Mike Sullivan was still head coach, you think that'd be a lower number?
You mean like closer to zero? Or?
Yes, I'm sorry. Higher, technically higher number.
Oh, like
higher on the rankings.
Yeah, but not high enough. Like to put it in perspective, Seattle is 36th. I'm more miserable if I'm a Seattle Kraken fan than I am a Penguins fan if Mike Sullivan's still the head coach. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The Penguins being rated 18th and being the lowest rated team not rated zero on this thing is very surprising considering the state of things with the Penguins. Haven't made the playoffs in 3 years. Aging stars. It ain't getting any better. And full-blown rebuild and just being flat-out putrid is on the horizon. I understand that they won back-to-back championships and Stanley Cup the less than a decade ago. But I'm a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately guy. And they haven't made the playoffs the last 3 years with Sidney Crosby, with Evgeny Malkin and with Chris Letang. So I think the Penguins are way too low on the misery index. I think the Pirates are also way too low for being rated 92. And I think the Steelers might be a couple of ticks higher, even if they were 79 and the Bills were 76. I'm just shocked that Buffalo is rated higher than the Steelers are on the misery index. Again, what have you done for me lately mindset? I'm looking at some of these other ones here. Let's go through them. NFL, I mean, the Eagles and the Patriots, Joel, I think we can agree that that makes sense. Eagles, Chiefs, Patriots, way too low, I mean. That next tier of teams, and they're really putting stock into, you know, recent championships. Rams and Bucks are Rams at 28, Buccaneers at 43. So a little bit of a jump there. But again, they're putting stock into recent championship success there, obviously. All the teams that they say that should be less miserable. Holy cow, how did I miss this one? We talk about, oh man, why are Bills fans more miserable than Steelers fans, according to ESPN? Why the hell are Giants fans less miserable than Steelers fans on the ESPN Misery Index? The Steelers are rated 76. The Giants are 73. With the temperament of that market and those fans in that market.
Yeah, goodness gracious.
If I had the DNA of a New Yorker, and those people that call into our sister station, WFAN, I would be irate that ESPN thinks that I'm less miserable of a sports fan than the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions. I'd be irate if I was a Giants fan.
You think it's because they found their franchise quarterback? Or they have one set in stone, set in place?
Who?
Jackson Dart.
Unproven. And I think he might stink.
Don't tell Joe Starkey that.
I would happily tell Joe Starkey that given the opportunity. I think Jackson Dart's going to suck. Nothing that Jackson Dart did in college makes me think, oh yeah, that's an NFL trait. Very similar into the way that Kenny Pickett looked coming out of Pitt, and I was bamboozled. I'll admit it. I was fired up when the Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett. I thought he had the capabilities of being a franchise quarterback. And Kenny Pickett really, in the grand scheme of things, didn't put a whole lot of NFL-like stuff on tape, and neither did Jackson Dart. So I'm not going to let it fool me again. The ESPN Misery Index. Go check it out if you have time. Interesting numbers here. Jacksonville and the Jets, the most miserable fan bases in all of football. Browns, not too far behind them, 96. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Sullivan Super Service, that's Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Listen to Pomp and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday, 12 noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Joel's pick is next. This is the Fan Evening Show. We're with you until 10:35. I'm Jack Hillgrove on Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group. That's Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Low 90s tomorrow, a hot one. Man, it's a hot one. Carlos Santana. Pirates and Cubs this weekend at Wrigley Field. Temps in the 80s in Chi-Town. Stephen Thompson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette coming at you in about 10 minutes or so, leading off the next hour, talking Pitt football. 2 weeks from Saturday, the City game, baby. Put up your Dukes, Pitt and Duquesne. You can listen to it right here on The Fan. We'll get a little bit of a preview and see how camp is going with Stephen Thompson, who covers the Panthers of the Post-Gazette. But right now, Joel's pick with Joel Nelson. Carl.
All right, Jack. Well, thank you as always. Joel's pick, August 14. Happy 814 day to my Central PA people.
Look at you.
Pirates and Cubs this weekend, as you mentioned. It starts tomorrow afternoon. Why don't we play a little Pirates-Cubs Immaculate Grid?
I was hoping this was what it was going to be. Okay.
I'll, I'm going to start us off with Rob Sestrisny. How's that sound?
That's a good one. How about Derek Lee? How about Aramis Ramirez? If you played MVP Baseball 2005, that's how they pronounced Aramis Ramirez's first name.
Jose Quintana was with both teams.
Yes, he was.
He's been on every NL Central team but the Reds, matter of fact.
And we're not checking the text line, but you can text in and play along, guys that played for both the Pirates and the Cubs, and then we'll go back after the segment and see which ones we missed and feel like bozos for missing obvious ones, because that happens.
It happens way too many times.
At least one every time. Jameson Taillon is one.
And like, always think about like any trades that the two teams have made.
Yes.
Even though
I have to take the YouTube stream off here too and not cheat in case anybody chimes in there. I'm already struggling. We're probably making a lot of people mad and angry at their steering wheels right now, but I'm already struggling. How many do we have so far?
I'm seeing four. Rob Sestrisny, Derek Lee, Aramis Ramirez, and Jameson Taillon.
You said Jose Quintana.
Oh, I did say Jose Quintana.
So we have five.
You would think because it's NL Central,
yeah,
this should be fairly easy.
Yeah, it should be.
I think we did this with the Reds. That was pretty good. We did it with the Cardinals, and that was pretty good.
Yeah. Or maybe we're not bad at this, and maybe there's just not a whole lot of Cubs and Pirates crossover.
Very well could be.
Jose Quintana is a good one, because I don't think he went straight to the Cubs after the Pirates, did he? Did they trade him to the Cubs?
Like after the Pirates?
Yeah.
He was traded to the Cardinals.
That's
for
what I thought.
Johan Oviedo and...
That's what I thought. Yeah, I'm having a hard time here, Jolie.
Me too. I didn't think it would be like this because it's the Pirates and the...
Yeah,
the Pirates and the Cubs, two NL Central teams.
If you watch Pirates baseball on TV, you should be able to remember the teams that they play against the most, and that's the teams in the NL Central.
Stephen Brault.
Yep. Wait, really?
Yeah, I think he spent like one season with them.
Remember he got a play-by-play opportunity on TV last year? I thought he did a pretty damn good job.
That was pretty good.
He did. How about, this isn't cheating, I swear, but didn't Trevor Williams end up with the Cubs too?
Yes, that is correct as well.
When you mention a guy from like that era, another one gets brought up, because Trevor Williams, you go to the Mets right after the Pirates or the Cubs? Because he was with the Cubs and the Mets.
He's also been with the Nationals.
And he's been with the Nationals ever since. So we've got Trevor Williams and Stephen Brault along with Jose Quintana. I mean, you could always go to the Rich Hill well. Did he ever play for the Cubs?
I think he did, but
he played
for
over half of baseball.
I'm not 1,000% sure on it. So
you
I
just
guess
look up
50-50.
Rich Hill on Wikipedia, and it's just hysterical. Yeah, he actually started his career with the Cubs, and then he proceeded to play for 13 billion other teams.
A good handful of left-handed pitchers in here. Surprised we don't have more relievers by this point.
How about if you also Google Rich Hill, and you know how you go and there's like a couple of news top stories? There's two headlines suggesting that Rich Hill and the Red Sox could reunite. I guess he was let go by the Royals. He was pitching in their minor league system. MLB rumors. Rich Hill teases Red Sox reunion with interesting twist. From Over the Monster, a Red Sox blog. Another Red Sox and Rich Hill reunion incoming.
When that guy retires...
That would be like his fifth tenure in Boston.
Okay, I was just going to say, whenever he retires, who does he retire with? The Red Sox, right?
He spent 6 years with the... This guy's played 21 years in baseball. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 teams, 1 year or less. He played for the Red Sox for 6 years, the Dodgers and the Cubs for 4, and every other team he's ever played for 1 year or less. That is journeyman in all capital letters.
I just thought of another name, and this is like if you actually get Pirates and Cubs.
See, I've got people that I haven't talked to in years texting me, and I know they're going to give me a name, so I'm going to check those afterwards, but go ahead.
Alfonso Rivas, remember him?
Was that a like late 20 or early 2020s? Just yeah.
He's been on the Pirates, Cubs, and Padres, I think.
What a pull.
Like, if you get actual Pirates and Cubs, if you're not going with Rob Sestrizny, then Alfonso Rivas, I think, would be the best pick for the best score.
Do you guys have John Nogalski when for the Pirates and Cardinals one? Because didn't he play for the Cardinals too?
Yeah, I think so. Which that would be that's a really good one.
Yeah, well, too bad we're not doing the Cardinals. But yeah, that was it. He played like 3 years of big league ball, Pirates, Cardinals. That was it, 2020, 2021. How many are we up to, Mr. Nelson?
We're at nine.
We
got to get one more.
Yeah, we can get to double digits here in the next minute five.
Rob Sestrizny, Derek Lee, Aramis Ramirez, Jameson Taillon, Jose Quintana, Stephen Brault, that's six, Trevor Williams, Rich Hill, Alfonso Rivas. One more to get to 10. And it's also a little tricky because weren't all those rumors about potential trades that the Pirates and Cubs can make centered around David Bednar, Mitch Keller.
Did Tyke Redmond play for the Cubs?
No. Beyond me.
He was the Orioles.
You think about like all the different journeymen on the Pirates, and Carlos Santana was one of them, but he was never on the Cubs.
Did Ty Wigington play for the Cubs? No. We have 15 seconds, Joel. Did Rob Mikhoviak play for the Cubs? Played for the White Sox. Is that 9.5?